You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of Here's Where It Gets Interesting. Each week, I speak with authors, experts, and thought leaders on everything from American history and democracy to how to be a better person on the internet. And don't miss my extremely popular docuseries, which educate you on things you never learned in history class. Follow and listen to Here's Where It Gets Interesting on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Final segment, we'll hand it over to John Harris and Mark Vandermeer. The big news today is Carlos Correa is a Houston Astro once again. And if there's been one criticism of Jim Crane, Seth, in general, like aside from the really dark period where he decided to go without a GM, like just a general behavior as an owner, general methodology as an owner, it's been, hey, you spend, but when it comes time to spend big to keep our guys, you don't do that. And you brought this up multiple times this morning, and I think this is a classic example of Jim Crane being really smart about the way he goes about his business. I want him to stay out of the $200 million, $300 million, the 10- and 12-year contract pool. I don't need him swimming around in there, especially when he clearly shows the willingness to spend. Whether it's guys that used to be here or not, he's very opportunistic. The Christian Walker contract is TBD still for me. You know, let's see how this season ends. It's trending in the right direction. The only contract he's given out that I have that ultimately in retrospect you look back at Montero, but that's an $11 million reliever. The Abreu contract was an abomination, just an abomination, and still that was only a 3-year deal. You know, it didn't bury you.
The thing about Crane is that he typically, for the tier of teams that he's in financially, he's spending at the top end of those.
Yes.
You're never going to compete with the Yankees or the Dodgers. They make the Yankees make 50% more revenue than the Astros do. It's just that the Astros don't have the same ability to spend up and over and into the luxury tax. But when it comes to the rest of the league, like the people that are upper middle class, he's pretty consistently in that top set of teams. Think about all the guys, if they had re-signed them at face value, going back to Springer and, Correa and everybody else, that puts you up into Yankeesville, which you financially cannot do. It gets frustrating, I think, where sometimes people try to paint Crane out as a cheap owner, and I'm like, I look at the salaries for the team spending every year, and they're consistently in the top five, and the Yankees, the Mets, who have an incredibly rich owner who's just willing to spend anything and everything, like, doesn't make any sense at all. You're not going to compete with those teams, nor should you, because you would bankrupt the team.
Yep. I do think it's interesting, too, as we're celebrating the return of Carlos Correa, I think it is, before we finish up the show, I think it is wild to point out that Carlos Correa in 2021, when he hit free agency, was thought to be easily one of the best free agents, if not one of the best players in baseball. He had a top five MVP finish. Players like that, when they get put on the trade block, I'll take Juan Soto as an example. When he got traded from the Nationals to the Padres, they traded 7 prospects, a lot of them good prospects, for Juan Soto. This is a sign of kind of where Carlos has been as a player throughout the course of the last 4 years since leaving here, that he really didn't get traded for anything. I mean, they throw in this 26-year-old reliever who's playing A-ball, who's not even a draft pick of the Astros. They signed him off the street. He's got a 7 ERA. This is one of those trades, Seth, that felt like the Twins and the Astros are sitting there, and the Astros are just getting ready to fleece the Twins, and the Twins are like, you got to give me something. You got to give me a player. I don't care who. Mikulski. We'll take Mikulski. Because Carlos is now a guy. The 2021 Carlos would have been a guy that if the Twins are putting him on the trade block, he is the crown jewel of this trade deadline, and they're getting 5 good prospects for him. He is now a player that, now granted, he had the no trade clause also, so he had control, yeah. So I should point that out. But and so the Twins had very little leverage, but the Twins were willing to dump him for an A-level reliever and pay $33 million to get rid
right.
of him.
Paying his salary is a big yeah. part of it. And it's cool, too, if everything comes full circle now, where in 2017, you're bringing in – let's bring in guys that can teach our guys how to win a championship and how to be veterans. So you bring in Brian McCann and Carlos Beltran. Now you're bringing back your own guys yeah. who are in a category above Brian McCann or Carlos Beltran.
Yeah.
And kind of doing the same thing. Like, hey, who can we get to come in and really show these young guys how the Astros can win a championship? I've got an idea.
Yeah.
How about Justin Verlander?
Yeah.
And how about Carlos Correa himself?
Yeah.
I'm surprised they didn't get Charlie Morton. That would have made sense as well.
Charlie got traded to the Tigers, right?
Yeah.
I saw he reunited with A.J. Hinch. I would have loved to have brought Charlie Morton back. That would have been good. I think the fact that there are no pitchers that they brought in, I think, is – oh, it's an indication of two things. A, the price of poker to get pitchers, which Dana Brown cited yesterday. But I do think that it is an indication that they feel pretty good about at least a couple of these guys coming back and rounding out that rotation for the Astros.
And even if, I'm crossing my fingers as I say this, we haven't heard of setbacks like we had been so often with the pitchers who are coming back from injury.
Yeah.
And even without feeling really good about any one guy individually, it's that when you've got this many guys coming back, all of whom are, you know, have been better than the guys that have been replacing them, at least one or two of them are going to work out.
Yeah.
Most likely.
Yeah,
And the other part about these trades for Urias and Correa, you're bolstering an already really good infield defense. You're making it that much better. So whatever your pitching issues are, whatever your offensive issues are, one of the things that's really sustained the Astros this year to the point where it doesn't make any sense that they've won as many games as they have, it's because they're so good defensively.
Well, think about the lineup they've been trotting out there lately, too, since Paredes' injury, and obviously Yordan's essentially been out all year. When he was playing, he wasn't good. So they've been missing Yordan for essentially the entire season. They've been missing Peña. You're all of a sudden, Seth, going to be trotting a lineup out there this weekend that has you're upgrading from whatever it was before. You're upgrading to Jeremy Peña, all-star, Carlos Correa. We know what's in there with Carlos. It's a matter of going and finding the best version of himself. And Jesus Sanchez, who at the very least is a capable left-handed big league bat that can keep passing the baton when you've got a rally going in an inning. You know, he's got a 740 OPS. For parts of the season with the Astros lineup, we would call that a unicorn. A 740 OPS, you know, like it's so they're the great job by Dana Brown and going and getting these upgrades for the everyday lineup. Feel good. And Boston's playing good baseball right now. Like, they need to go in this weekend as full force as they can be. Hunter and Framber are both going to take the mound. This is going to be a very interesting series this weekend with the pickups the Astros have made. You got both of your aces going in this series. And Boston is one of the hottest teams in the American League right now. They're 18-7. In their last 25 games. So they're playing some really, really good baseball right now. The Red Sox are.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of Here's Where It Gets Interesting. Each week, I speak with authors, experts, and thought leaders on everything from American history and democracy to how to be a better person on the internet. And don't miss my extremely popular docuseries, which educate you on things you never learned in history class. Follow and listen to Here's Where It Gets Interesting on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We've had a big summer, man. Like, in the last, 3 weeks, we've had Carlos Correa and Kevin Durant get traded. Like, these have been gifts from the gods when it comes to radio.
They are real when it comes to radio and just people getting excited. I mean, people get excited about trades. It's one of the things that just it drives focus. You get any kind of trade news, people click on it. And it's because the Astros have had such success with it in the past, it's multiplied with the Astros and their fan base, I think. It's that, man, we've seen this time and time again, that whether it's a Greinke, a Verlander, whomever else, they've made some really impactful moves and end up being part of championship baseball.
Which one are you, like, I don't have an answer to this, so maybe I'm putting you on this. I'm trying to think of which one I was more excited about when I heard it, the Durant trade or the Correa trade. You know, and I mean, they're obviously very different. Like, Durant is still a peak-level player and a global icon. Carlos Correa has that local love here, the hometown guy returning.
They were both similar in that I had talked myself out of wanting it. I had almost, as a protective measure, as a defense mechanism, I had said, we don't need to do that. We'll be fine. And then it happened, and I could see that I was a fraud. Both of those things happened. I think Durant, just because of the enormity of it, and because it's a different situation, you know, for where the Rockets are right now. And obviously the Astros have a lot of youth and uncertainty on the roster, but they've also won a couple World Series and been to four World Series championships, or been to four World Series, et cetera, et cetera. I was more excited about the Durant one.
Yeah,
if I had to power rank it.
Yeah, I think I agree with you on that. Like, with the Astros, it feels like this is a move that's just going to allow them to kind of keep their head above water in the short term because they're so banged up and injured. I know there's three more years of this deal after this, but in the moment, whereas Kevin Durant feels like one, like, there is a specific beast you're going to slay in the NBA, and it's Oklahoma City. And Durant feels like he's the acquisition that put those two teams on a different level than everybody else.
This is the difference, Sean. I think I was more excited about the Durant trade, but the Correa trade feels better.
Yeah.
It's like the difference between having relations with a woman for the first time versus reuniting with a girlfriend where it was always awesome in the past, and you know exactly what she likes and vice versa.
Yeah.
When you're making out.
Right. Hadn't seen her in a while, and you go to the 5-year reunion, and there she is right there. Yeah, yeah.
That's what Korea is.
It's the 5-year
20th
reunion.
Year, 20th high school reunion hookup.
That's it. Except it's going to last for 3 years. The party's going to go for 3 more years.
And you're not going to destroy your respective families with it either.
Correct. Yeah, correct. all right. Practice getting started in about an hour. About to pass the baton to Mark Vandermeer and John Harris. Seth, the next time I see you will be in White Sulphur Springs, West Virginia.
In West Virginia.
Can't
we'll
wait.
Meet in West Virginia.
Just like we drew it up on the chalkboard, baby.
Every great caper begins with that. We'll meet in West Virginia.
Yes.
Rob a bank while we're there, Sean.
And Deliverance. That begins there as well. All right. We are done. Seth, antibodies to you, my friend.
Antibodies and a Correa to you.
Thank you. I'll see you on Sunday.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of Here's Where It Gets Interesting, where you'll learn about American history, current events, and so much more. Follow and listen to me on Here's Where It Gets Interesting on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.